This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's the easiest way to find out what channel the game's on? Sports on What? Subscribe to the Sports on What app and quickly find the channel for every provider, satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Download today.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
All right, so coming up, we'll drink a toast of the weekend with a shot of the day. Then it's Bad Choice Friday time.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
It's Bad Choice Friday.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
Hey, man, this is your fault.
Hey, we're celebrating a couple of birthdays today on a Bad Choice Friday, turning 62 years old, MC Hammer. Hey, hey.
Now to speak for Mike's dad.
That's right. MC Hammer and Too Legit to Quit, taking on the lead singer for Toto. Bobby Kimball turned 78 today.
Meet you all the way. Woo. Meet you all the way.
I worry people on Twitter. I don't know this song.
Yeah. That's fair enough, man.
Come on, gang.
I looked at the poll. I did not recognize it. Then when it started playing, I was like,
yeah, I know the song. Yeah. How is the voting going on that?
Not good.
Lopsided. Mike's dad is winning.
Ah, okay.
Meet you all the way.
I'm going to meet you all the way.
Rosanna from Toto taking on MC Hammer and Too Legit to Quit. I'll vote now if you happen to follow us on X at Men's Room Live. One of those two tunes coming up right after we drink a toast with a shout of the day. Okay, our question about being scared and what scared you the most. We head to Kent. The FBI recognized three Kent middle schoolers for their bravery in stopping the kidnapping of a six-year-old girl. Last week, Kylie, Bentley, and Esme were...
Esme. I only know that because my kid goes to school with an Esme, and that's how it's spelled.
I did not know how to pronounce that. They were presented with certificates at their middle school praising exceptional service in the public interest by Seattle's Violent Crimes Against Children's Squad. Their bravery and selflessness bring honor to each of them, to their families, and their communities, according to Steve Vino, who is an FBI special agent. We saved a little girl's life as they spoke to Cairo 7, but we didn't think it would go this far, but I'm glad it did. On July 16th, 2024, the preteens spotted a 40-year-old man pulling a six-year-old girl by her wrist at an apartment complex on Kent Kangley Road. What could have happened, like, really, really makes me sad because it's just, like, really traumatizing, said one of the little girls. Now, the 40-year-old suspect, Haider Hassan Albu Mohammed, pled guilty to an attempted luring charge in December. He was released.
Which is ridiculous.
And put on, are you ready for this? Unsupervised probation for 24 months. Again, he was...
Unsupervised.
Released and put on unsupervised probation for 24 months.
And look, it's ridiculous in and among itself, but the fact... Okay, so you give these girls certificates... For what they did, what they prevented. Because the flip side of it is, we're not that worried about
right.
this guy.
Now, Tim, when you bumped that car, were you put on probation?
Oh, yeah, I got two years unsupervised, but only because Washington State and the state of Maryland didn't have a extradition treaty.
Okay, gotcha. But if you would have stayed in Maryland, you would have been on supervised probation, I guess, maybe?
Maybe. Like, I probation, not every state allows you, but I PBJ did probation before judgment.
Okay.
So I'd already done all the classes and everything.
Right.
So, like, I did all that beforehand, so I don't know that they would have recommended anything else. It's basically, like,
all right. I just did
what they said.
But again, what you need
you
to do
bumped
to be
a car. You did not try to abduct a six-year-old girl.
This is unbelievable.
No. And I pulled over
right
to try to talk to the people.
You
that,
made the mistake.
Then it went downhill from there.
Yeah. And you tried to do, this guy tried to kidnap someone. And they're like, all right, dude, look, we're not going to really follow up.
Yeah, having unsupervised probation just seems insane for that.
That's what I'm saying.
He tried to kidnap someone.
What do you have to do to get supervised probation? I guess that's
my
question.
I kidnapped someone. If I had gotten arrested for it, I'd understand if they were like, hey, we're going to put you in jail. Or if they didn't put me in jail, said you're going to be on supervised probation.
Judge ordered Albu Mohammed to have no contact with a minor without supervision. He's not allowed to live at the Kent apartment complex where he was arrested. The girls say they're keeping their guards up no matter what. Well, they should.
Yeah.
I think anybody would. When we're looking outside to play volleyball and we see something or someone kind of sketchy, I'll be like, guys, look. They say that they are watching the neighborhood closely to stop it from happening ever again. Well, I think you know who might do it. It's kind of changed my perspective for me. Let's see who's hanging out with that little girl. Are they related? And things like that. So, obviously, a scary and traumatizing situation there.
And they let the guy back out.
That's the other part of it.
That's the
movie's not over.
Right.
So, our question growing up, what was the moment that scared you the most? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Kyle. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola. So I was living in Texas. I was about 7 years old. My mom was about 7 or 8 months pregnant, and there was a severe thunderstorm going on and lightning. There was like 110, 115 strikes a minute that night. Driving down the freeway, and our everything goes white all of a sudden, and then somebody's pounding on our window, and of course we all scream. And the dude's like, dude, your car just got struck by lightning. And we're like, what? Like, we're trying to figure out what's going on. You know what I mean? And long story short, it fried the entire car. We were borrowing it from my uncle so we could take my dad back and forth to work. So my uncle never let my mom borrow a car again.
Well, it wasn't her fault.
It was struck by lightning, man.
Does he have some kind of superpower to keep that from happening?
Right, that's what we said. You know what I mean? We're like, are you serious right now? But, you know, that's just how my uncle is. He's not the greatest.
Well, he's nice enough, I guess, to lend the car, but not,
but holds a lightning strike against you. Like, yeah, we did that on purpose.
Did you feel anything?
No, honestly, no. And the people that we had talked to said that the reason was is because the rubber is grounded to the road, so it went through the antenna and out through the tire. You can see where it came out of the car.
Well, thank God cars don't have antennas anymore. One less thing.
That's what I always heard about. You were kind of safer in a car if it got struck.
That's what I heard because of the tires specifically.
Yeah. I bet that was scary.
Now I'm super sketched out to be in a car regardless when there's lightning.
Yeah.
I mean, your car got hit, so that's pretty legit.
I mean, was it loud when it hit? I mean, was there any evidence that you had been struck by lightning other than what you saw from the tires?
No, and just the white flash that kind of blinded us for a second.
Yeah, you know what? Well, the day that me and my buddies got hit underneath that tree, there you get a sense that something is about to happen.
I've heard you get like a tingling or something.
You get, what's the best way to describe this? So even though it could be very, very dark, for whatever reason, it gets really, really bright. So the sky...
Before the lightning hits or something.
Right. So the sky actually is, even though it might be dark above you, it still gets bright. It's weird. And you feel... It's not like particle. It's almost like the hair stands up, but it's more of a charged feeling. I can't...
That's what I've heard. There's a lot of static electricity around or something.
It's the beginning of... I don't know if that's... The spot it's going to hit, I don't know what the deal is. I just know that it is a very strange feeling because you can almost sense it.
Right.
That's going to happen.
Yeah, how much I've never been in a car or hit by lightning, but I've been underneath in a car. Same thing, right? Like one of those horrible storms where there's just strikes all over. And it hit the transformer above us. And I mean, you talk about loud explosion.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was a kid. That lightning, there was so many strikes. I remember sitting in the car, like, crying, you know. Finally, my mom's like, look, your brother's in there. The door is open. After that next strike, you got to get out of the car and run to that door. Yeah. But, I mean, there was so much lightning, you really thought you were going to get hit.
Right.
Growing up, comforting feeling.
What was the moment that scared you the most? 206-803-ROCK.
Well, I had a cousin, right? We first moved out here, right? I was dating a girl that grew up here, right? Mm-hmm. She'd never been to Maryland. So I took her back for my cousin's wedding. I can't remember if it was the day before or the day after. Anyhow, same thing. One of those just brutal summer storms comes through. And I mean, she was scared, which I don't blame her. But like, you know, she never seen lightning like that. You know, like in the thunder, it's hard to explain to people. I mean, it rattles your whole home.
Oh, yeah. Your house shakes.
So same thing. She was like, well, what are we going to do? I said, well, cousin Tim's in there. So wait for the lightning. And I said, then you run in. I said, then after the next lightning, I'll run it.
Yeah, there's not a lot of lightning here, man. There's not. I think my kid was 7 or 8 years old the first time he saw lightning, but I was outside smoking. And we got a covered front to the house. So I'm outside smoking, and I realized, okay, we got kind of a lightning storm going on. So my kid is downstairs playing with his buddy, and I was like, hey, guys, come outside. And they're like, why? I'm like, I don't think you guys have seen this, which proved to be true. So they're sitting next to me. It took maybe 2 minutes. There's this big-ass lightning strike, and I swear to God, it was like Scooby-Doo, where they screamed and they're hugging each other. Like, that was just... So they got their arms wrapped around each other, which is kind of funny. I'm like, guys, you're okay, man. They're like, what was that? I'm like, that's lightning. They're like, okay, we've heard of it. We've just never seen it. I'm like, well, yeah. So now at this point, the lightning, it's crashing all around. So my son's buddy is like, is it dangerous? I said, does it look dangerous? He goes, yeah. I said, it is exactly as dangerous as it looks.
And so even more so.
We're going to stay under here. Do not walk out in there. Because I kind of like wanted to, you know, investigate it. I'm like, no. Stay under this cover. But yeah, it's dangerous, man. But honest to God, it was like Scooby-Doo. Just
because we had one good storm this summer.
Yeah.
Right? So like, I went out on my back patio. So I was like, I love watching lightning.
Sure.
And then like this guy walks by and it's raining pretty good. And he just stops, and I was like, join the storm? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, where are you from? He's like, Florida, man. I miss these.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, all right, I'm from Maryland. So it was like a Saturday night. It's storming. I order a pizza. The pizza guy shows up, and he's like, oh, that's a good one. I'm like, where are you from? It's somewhere in the South. And he's like, I miss these. I was like, are we the psychos?
Maybe. Yes. Yeah. Growing up, what was the moment that scared you the most? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, John. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola.
All right. First question is, do y'all believe in a Sasquatch?
Maybe. I don't know, man.
Who knows?
All right. This might change your opinion on that.
I'm guessing changed your opinion on that.
Oh, yeah. So I was living in Shelton at the time about 12 years ago. I was 18, 19, somewhere around those years. It was like 1 or 2 in the morning. And I was inside playing video games, and I was like, you know what, screw it, I'm gonna go smoke. So I went for a walk, smoking a joint, and I'm walking down this hill, pitch black, no light, just a flashlight on my old iPhone. And I'm like, I get this weird feeling of something watching me. You know, you get that feeling of like, what the heck is going on? Like, why am I being watched?
Sure.
And I'm walking, I kept feeling this ominous feeling about just something watching me. So I turn 180 degrees, and I'm in a ravine. And I look up, and I don't quite see anything. So then I take my flashlight out, and I'm looking in the woods, and it don't do jack. I can't see anything. And next thing you know, I shine the light in the right spot, and all I hear is this super, super loud, demonic screech. Like, I was so scared. I ran back up the hill. And I was up for the rest of the night. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't, like, do nothing. Like, even I would smoke so much weed that I literally could not go back to sleep. I was just, like, I was literally so scared. And ever since then, Sasquatches have been, like, 100% real in my mind.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. But you know what? You just don't know the animal. Mike did a top 10 list last week with sounds of animals.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And you cannot believe what comes out of an animal's mouth, depending on, you know, it was like, listen to the sound and then guess the animal. And you couldn't have guessed them in a million years.
I don't think we got any. And you even give us multiple choice. Just, is it a reptile, a bird, or a man? Do you still have those?
I got a handful. Hang on.
Because some of those sound terrifying. And then when you say it, it is like, mm-hmm. Look, this animal is not particularly dangerous.
Hamster.
But yeah, I know. You know, like, you've got to be kidding.
See, to me, that sounds demonic.
That's a kiwi.
That's a kiwi.
That's a kiwi. I told you, man. Seeing that barn owl, that was one of the scariest sounds I've ever heard in my life.
Right.
Man.
They're
just
big.
Frightening.
It wasn't even that big. It was just white and scary.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Miles, I'll tell you, that owl was only this big, man.
That's it.
But with the sound it made, and then again, this is when I learned about like why in Ireland they believe in banshees. Because these barn owls are generally always all white. They come out at night, and they like cemeteries. So if you heard that sound and just saw a white thing flying at you, you'd be like, that is a ghost.
Yeah, no doubt.
Or you'd be like, it's a banshee.
What was the, did you have, what, was it the shoe bill?
Oh, yeah, that was
that's the clacking.
That was this guy. Plus the prehistoric cawing that comes after that.
And I will say, if you look at a picture of a shoebill bird, it is terrifying.
Yes.
But apparently they're not, I guess they can be dangerous, but they're not particularly dangerous, if you know what I mean.
They look like dinosaurs.
That thing looks pissed.
It looks like it wants to.
You ever
to
seen
kill
the one, the video of that bird just sitting there in the rain?
Was it the shoebill?
Yeah, I believe it's a shoebill. Yeah. Have you guys ever seen that before?
I think it is.
You just look at it, and I swear to God, it's like, you know, we know that crocodiles, alligators, obviously, you know, if you got to, like, I don't know, one of those dinosaur type of, what the hell are those things that'll bite you and mess you all up and kill you? That big ass lizard that they have. Can't remember the name of it. But either way, I mean, that's a real animal.
Right, we're looking at this video.
And he's just outside your window while training.
I'm not okay with that, man.
I'm not. I'm going to shoot it.
Growing up, what was the moment that scared you the most? 206-803-ROCK.
You better move, bird.
Hello, Brock. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
So, I want to thrill. You were classic yesterday.
That's what I heard.
I wasn't sure if you were going to make it through the day or not. It was fun. I had a good time.
Well, good, man.
Yeah.
Spreading joy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so this is, I'm going to start backwards. When I was 19, I got lost at Mount St. Helens, and I'll tell that story maybe another time, but this is at six. I started skiing when I was five. We would go on vacation, family vacation, and this trip we went to Schweitzer. And it was the first time I slept in a bunk bed. I ended up falling out of it in the middle of the night. But the next day we're skiing and we're on a cat track and it's the whole family and I'm kind of a little bit behind and this fog comes in and I just kind of lose track of everybody and I somehow get off the cat track and take a left down a different slope and make my way down. At this point, I'm just fine. I'm just skiing and having a good time. I'm just a kid, but I get to the bottom of the mountain and then my parents aren't there and nobody's there. And I'm just like, oh my God, I'm lost. So they find me later. My parents are freaking out and they do a whole search for me. I'm gone for like an hour and then they finally find me later. Yeah.
Yeah. So were you not even like at the bottom of, were you like in backcountry? So when you got to the bottom of the hill, there was nothing there?
Well, no, we were just a family on this one. We were just coming down the mountain. It was a cat track. And I just somehow just lost the cat track. And I ended up at the bottom of the mountain by myself, but it was a different chair. So they went down the cat track and ended up at a different place. And I ended up at another chair. Just like a kid just sitting there like, where is my family?
Yeah, that's not good. And trust me, your parents are more scared than you are.
I was going to say, man, that I've been lost as a kid, couldn't find my family. There's a bit of panic. Boy, you still have faith that you're going to figure it out, man. And the one time I could not find my daughter, like, that kind of panic was absolutely, it's terrifying. And it is a horrible feeling. Find out she was playing hide-and-go-seek, and that's when I explained to her, okay, well, the critical part of hide-and-go-seek is that everyone knows you're playing. Otherwise, you're just missing.
Yeah.
That is what happened.
Growing up, what was the moment that scared you the most? 206-803-ROCK. Rock!
Always live on the free Odyssey app. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK. From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room.
All right, this one went down when Hurricane Milton
slammed into Florida. A 14-year-old boy was rescued from floating debris in Tampa on what the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Commissioner said was one of more than 200 water rescues they carried out in one day.
Damn.
Sheriff told CNN that he was on an airboat with a deputy when the boy, who was clinging to a floating section of fence, flagged him down in the water. It was literally out of a Castaway movie. Him laying on top of a fence and waving, out of breath, gasping for air as we were pulling him in. The sheriff's office shared video of the rescue. Sheriff says the boy's mother evacuated him to a friend's home in a safer area as Hurricane Milton approached. But when he tried to walk home after the storm passed, he underestimated the depth of the water in a flooded area in North Tampa and could not swim well enough to make it through. He was visibly shaken. He hugged us. He was so grateful that we took him to dry land. They say that 349 people and 49 pets had to be rescued in the ongoing efforts within the next few days. Our question, growing up, what was the moment that scared you the most? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Maisha. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola.
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 Hola. Hi. I instantly thought of a time when I was on a city bus in a foreign country going down a hill. It smelled like brakes, but I didn't think much of it. We stopped and picked up two people, which prompted me to move to the back of the bus. Before the next stop, the bus lost the brakes. Everybody's holding on for dear life. We go down. There's a speed bump. At the bottom of the hill, we're flying. It launches the bus and turns it sideways. I blacked out and woke up with other people. And I just really am thankful that I had moved to the back. And essentially, multiple people died, but I was extremely lucky. Wow. And I didn't die.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm guessing the people in the front of the bus did not have it quite as good as you.
No, and then I kind of feel guilty because I was like, oh, you know, this is a older woman. I should get up and move. But, you know, it was wasn't a good move for them, I guess, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. I mean, you did the right thing technically.
Yeah, but, I mean, you could not have predicted that. What country were you in?
Oh, I was in Mexico. And the funny part is when I told people, they saw me on the news, and the first thing they don't say, oh, my gosh, you know, what happened? They say, well, you dummy, why were you on the bus? Like, I should, you know.
Oh, my bad.
Transportation. Yeah. Jesus. I was unaware. I didn't get the memo, so.
Yeah, that's awful. That is awful. Growing up, what was the moment that scared you the most? 206-803-ROCK.
Jesus. Hello, Michael. Welcome to the men's room.
Good afternoon.
Hola.
Hola.
So, my grandparents lived in Yakima. And they had friends that they used to let us go do stuff with all the time because, you know, they were older. So when they decided to let us go river rafting, and if you get to Ellensburg on the way to Yakima, you can go the old boring way, which is, you know, whatever 89 or whatever that highway is, or you can go the river road, which eventually drops you into Sela, then you eventually get into Yakima. And there is plenty of places to go do some great, great rafting. Well, I'm rafting down with my family, and we've tied all of our, you know, devices together, and we come across this bridge, and there is a 1-inch cable hanging down from the bridge into the water, and everybody is paddling to the left. Everybody's paddling to the left. I'm the last float, and I just couldn't get my float far enough to the left, and my float got sucked underneath the cable. I rolled off to the last second and grabbed the cable, and I'm watching all my family just float away. And luckily, there was a guy on the beach. He ran to his truck, grabbed a rope, threw a rope to me, and rescued me. But I got to tell you, for 12 years old, I was scared. You know what?
Yeah, that's frightening. Were you able to catch up to your raft?
Oh no, they were long gone. It was 3 hours before they found me.
Oh really?
Yeah,
that's got to be terrifying for your family too.
That had to have been. It actually wasn't even my family. It was the people that lived next door to my family. They must have been absolutely freaking out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did they tell your parents that they had lost you in those 3 hours?
In a gentle way, I suppose.
Okay.
But they did see the guy throw the rope, and, you know, I did get to shore. They saw that, but, you
okay.
know,
All
they
right.
were... They were gone.
So how long did it take? Did they try to come back to get you, or did that guy try to help?
That was the 3 hours.
Okay. So they were just trying to find your ass.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And so what? You just hang out with the guy on the beach?
What's that?
You just hang out with the guy on the beach until they found you?
Yeah. Yeah. For 12 years old, he got me hot chocolate and something to eat, and he didn't have a cell phone or anything because this was before that time, so... But... I don't want to deter anybody from floating that river because that's a kick-ass river to float. So
is that the Yakima River?
Yeah, the one that takes you to New Zealand on the backside. Yes,
dude, I have floated that river before, and it was the middle of summer. It was still freezing, and then a gust of wind came up, but so strong it stopped us.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Wow. That's cold. You got to be I floated other ones that aren't nearly as big and stuff. But like that one, you gotta kind of stay on your P's and Q's.
Oh, wow. Okay. Growing up, what was the moment that scared you the most? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Chris. Welcome to the men's room.
How's it going, guys?
Hola. Positive Friday.
So I got an all right one. Back in 93, so probably 32 years ago, every summer I'd go back to Minnesota and visit my uncle, and I'd stay there for a month or so with him, and there wasn't nothing to do. He's a big farmer guy, so I'd always be on the three-wheeler riding around, and one day took off on the three-wheeler. Back then, helmets were kind of optional thing, and I was smashing through a field at about 50, wide open in fifth gear, hit something, came down, crashed on my face, and the three-wheeler decided that it wanted to land on the back of my head.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I didn't even know that happened. I got up, started walking towards this guy on a tractor, of all things. I'm in the middle of nowhere. And, yeah, I put my hand in that big old gash. I have like a 10-inch gash on the back of my head. Pretty gnarly scar still to this day.
Wow. Do you have hair? Did hair grow back in there?
Nope. I still have the scar, and I rock it, dude. I got short hair, and it's pretty cool. The scariest part was, though, it took me probably 20 to 30 minutes to find my uncle that was looking for me, and then 2 hours to get to Minneapolis to the closest doctor.
Jesus.
Because I was in some small-ass town in Minnesota.
Yeah, yeah. And is your head split wide open at that point?
It was deep enough that I could stick four of my fingers on my left hand all the way down to the knuckle in it.
Oh, my God, dude. Wow.
And I think that's when I went into shock. And I remember sitting on the floorboard of my uncle's truck, and he was looking at me saying, "Don't fall asleep, don't fall asleep." And I was so tired, I fell asleep before I even got there.
Yeah, I figured so. Did you total the three-wheeler?
Funny. So when we got back, my uncle, he's like, we go to the three-wheeler, and I'm curious. I'm like, what smacked my head? And I found a chunk of skin and hair in between the rim and the tire of the back of my head. And he made me ride back to his farm about 2.5 miles with my head all wrapped up.
Yeah, you know what, man? There's a reason they don't make those anymore. I don't know what, I mean.
Those things are so dangerous.
Four-wheelers, they do the same damage when they land on people. And there's been a number of people that have tragically not around anymore. And that happens a lot in my home state of West Virginia. But the three-wheeler, man.
Yeah.
I was going to school, and there was a girl that was a year younger than me. And she was very, very smart. She was the pretty girl in her class. But again, a year younger. I knew her, but not very well. And she was on a three-wheeler. I don't know what the situation was, but the handlebar, the wheel just made a hard left or right.
All right.
And whenever that happened and she crashed, the handlebar was now facing directly into her face. In other words, you know, you got your hands like this. The wheel was completely right or completely left. It went through her eye socket.
Oh.
Pushed almost her eye into her brain. And then completely destroyed her orbital area of that. And so she didn't come to school for a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet.
And she went through multiple surgeries. And when she came back, you know, her eye wasn't, they weren't even as far as being like one was lower than the other, the one that got hit. She did lose that eye. So she had a glass eye. And it was just, that was a moment where I'm like, man, that's
because
I don't think she was going very fast, to be honest with you. I mean, we weren't that old. Maybe she was, but either way, you couldn't believe you felt horrible. Just looking at her like, oh my God, how did that happen to you? Of all people.
How was she mentally when she came back?
She was just very quiet and reserved in general.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't think her demeanor changed much, but she was... She was scarred. She was scarred.
Yeah, no doubt.
Pun intended.
Yeah. Growing up, what was the moment that scared you the most? 206-803-ROCK.
Well, I don't know how else you answer that question other than mentally scarred. But like,
right. Yeah.
She physically was scarred up,
too. Yes, she was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
was. Yeah. Hello, Susan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about mentally scarred. I have older siblings that love to torture me when I was little. And one of them is your longtime listener, Mary from Newcastle. Hello, if you're out there, sister. And, yes, one time my eldest brother had a dummy wig, like a wig head, mm-hmm. you know, and a long trench coat. And they decided to crank up the Immigrant Song. I happened to be, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years old, and they were dancing around, dancing at me, scaring the living heck out of me. And then that wasn't far enough. That was real funny to them. Later that night, they crawled up on the roof of our house and hung the dummy stuffed outside my bedroom window and waited for me to get, you know, go to bed and get ready for bed. And, of course, what do? I walk into my bedroom and see this terrifying, yucky creature thing outside the window. I'm still paranoid to this day of, like, windows open and, you know, curtains open at night. So, real fun.
Good times.
From the dummy head, huh?
Yes, with the trench coat, so it looked like, you know, a whole gross guy hanging outside my window.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, again, that's siblings.
Right.
So I feel like siblings take a lot more risk in scaring the hell out of you than your parents do.
Oh, of course, man.
Yeah. You know?
Because siblings kind of don't care.
Right.
You know, in the moment, they're like, yeah, whatever. I'll tell you what ruined me on windows for a while when I was a kid, man. Did you ever see Salem's Lot when it came out?
Mm-mm.
All right, so Stephen King, they made a miniseries, Salem's Lot, and it was kind of creepy the whole time, but there's just this one scene. So it's about vampires, all right? And I think it was a kid's brother had been turned into a vampire. But anyway, the kid's in bed. He's on the second floor of his house, and there's this light scratching on the outside of his window, man. And you open your curtains, and it's his brother, like, floating, scratching at his window.
What up, man?
And, oh, I'm telling you, man, I was not okay with that. I was not okay with that.
Growing up, what was the moment that scared you the most? 206-803-ROCK.
And yes, Mike, the actual quote was, what's up, man?
What's up, man?
I'm a vampire now. Hey, floating, scratching the window.
Just hanging out here.
Yeah.
What up, dude?
Seeing how you're doing.
Hola, Jose. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola. Hey, how you doing, gentlemen?
Hola.
Yeah, I was living in Moses Lake, Washington. I was 13 years old, and we were going hunting that day. And we loaded up our guns. We were going quail hunting. And I had the first opportunity to shoot a quail, and I looked to the sky, and I see these clouds. I said, oh, my God, it's going to rain. And my brother's like, you're crazy. It's 90-something degrees out here, and there's no clouds in the sky. I said, look. And just like you see in the movies, these rolling clouds, it's getting darker and darker and darker. And before you know it, we were in pitch blackness with something falling on us, which we had no idea what it was. And so we panicked and somehow made it home. And then now we became more panicked because our parents were at church. And we were Catholics. So, you know, you got to imagine they're in a church where it's nice and bright. And all of a sudden they come out and it's pitch black.
You have to call.
So what
was falling on you if you didn't know if it wasn't rain?
We didn't know. It was ash. That's all I know. I know it was ash because we found out later. And it turned even worse because, you know, it's close to summertime when we're going to have summer vacation. And we had all kinds of plans. And now the city was in a statewide emergency. And any kid who was 13 years old or over got to go to work that summer.
Doing what? Cleaning ash?
Cleaning ash. Nothing but clean. It was 6 inches of ash everywhere you see.
I'm assuming that's Mount St. Helens of blue?
Yeah, when Mount St. Helens blew, and we were living in Moses Lake.
Okay.
That helps.
Yeah,
that helps a lot. Yeah, at first I was like, well, where is this ash coming from?
Right. Right. Yes.
Okay, now it makes sense.
All right. Include that.
Yeah.
Growing up, what was the moment that scared you the most? 206-803-ROCK.
Start with that.
Yeah. Open with that, and the rest makes sense.
Yeah.
Hello, Mike. Welcome to the men's room.
Yeah, so mine was when I was 15 and I tried to make smoke bombs at home. It was a summer vacation. Dad was at work and my mom was a stay-home mom, but she went out. So I was at home, my cousin and my younger brother. He's 5 at the time. And so I'm mixing this stuff up in a pan. And like the golden rule when you make this stuff is like you're not supposed to use an open flame because, like, you know, in case a piece falls out, it sparks and hops back in the pan and it sets it up. You know,
oh,
I'm going to pick this up. I'll just keep the flame low and I'll be careful, you know. Well, I was sitting there stirring this stuff and melting it. And I tapped the spoon on the edge of the pan. And it was like slow motion, like a movie. Like I saw this little chunk fly off the stove burner and just spark. And then instantly the pan went up like a freaking jet engine. Just Matt is insane. Filled the whole house with smoke. I mean, it literally, you couldn't see your hands in front of you. It was so thick. So I'm freaking out, and I'm getting my cousin. We're, like, opening all the windows and all the doors, turning all the fans on, freaking out. Like, dude, they're going to think my house is going up in ash. Like, the neighbors are going to call the fire department. And so we get the smoke kind of start clearing out. I'm, like, cleaning up the kitchen. And luckily, nothing really burned. It just kind of flashed off so fast and so hot, nothing really got damaged, surprisingly, besides the pan. I hid the pan, and my brother's freaking out, and he's like, you know, 5, so he's like thinking we're like getting attacked or something.
I guess that was the last time you did that.
And actually, no, it wasn't. I just got smarter about it.
No, I kept trying. I'm a chemist. Yeah.
When your mom got home, was it obvious that something had gone wrong?
No, it wasn't. She didn't come home for like another hour, and I don't know how. No, none of the neighbors called the fire department. I mean, literally smoke billowing out of every single window and door.
Jesus.
And my brother...
What that scared you the most? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Trevor. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, guys.
Hola.
Hey, just want you guys to know I appreciate you. You make the day bearable.
Hey, thank you, man.
Thank you, man. We appreciate that.
So when I was probably 5, had a babysitter. She'd stay up late, put us to bed, stay up late, watch the old black and white Dracula or Frankenstein. Well, I would creep to the bottom of the stairs and sit on the stairs and listen to them. Those were fine. Then one night she was watching When a Stranger Calls. You remember that movie?
Oh, is that the one they're calling from inside the house one?
Oh, yeah. Check the children.
Right. Yeah.
Freak me. I'm getting chills right now just talking about it. Yeah, freak me the F out. So,
how much of the movie did you listen to?
You know, not much after that.
Yeah,
okay, all right.
I ended up screaming and running out. And, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I totally forgot about that movie until you brought that up.
I saw it on TV with my mother, and it was an interesting movie. And to his point, you know, it's kind of creepy because someone keeps calling saying, check on the children. But then when they're like, hey, man, it's coming from inside the house. I just remember looking at my mother because she didn't see that coming either. And we both just had a face like, maybe we should stop watching. I mean, she seemed as uncomfortable as I was. And when you see an adult freaking out when you're a kid, you're like, okay, this is, in fact, really scary.
Growing up, what was the moment that scared you the most? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Andrew. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So when I was about 7 years old, we went over to Eastern Washington for like a summer vacation, Lake Roosevelt, Grand Coulee area. And my dad decided that I needed to try kneeboarding.
Okay.
And we're going along. Everything's great. I'm having a blast. And then went to do a turn. And for some reason, I flipped over upside down. Well, if you remember kneeboarding, you usually had a strap across your legs to hold the board to your leg.
Yeah. Correct, yes.
I'm 7 years old. I have no idea how to get the thing off me, so I'm stuck upside down in the water.
Oh, that's a bad feeling, man.
Yeah, and I'm panicking. And from what I was told, my dad threw off his glasses, dove off the boat, came over and flipped me over.
Were you unconscious?
No, I wasn't unconscious, but I just was like, I'm not going back in the water. I didn't go back in the water for the entire rest of the week.
I don't
like regular swimming.
Yeah, that's a look, man. If you've it's remedial, but similar. So when I was teaching rowing in the Boy Scouts and canoeing,
yeah.
So I was the instructor for those merit badge classes. But we did have a fiberglass kayak that was on property. So, you know, just like anything else, you can rip in this thing.
Right? Yeah.
But those tend to flip. They were a little bit more narrow than the ones that you see now. So don't think of like just, you know, out kayaking on Lake Washington. These were kayaks to run like the New River or the Allegheny yeah. River. Unfortunately, they were fiberglass. So if you stuck your nose into something, man, the whole damn thing would just explode right. And you'd be covered in, you know, shards of fiberglass. But we had this thing on a lake and I rolled it. And I'm underneath the water, and there's a certain way that you underwater paddle, and you twist and you roll.
All right.
And it'll pop you back up. Well, the water was glass that day. Typically, if you're in running water, you can kind of get on the side a little bit, and it's easier to roll over because you're moving. Well, when you're dead in the water, it's and if you don't have the right technique, and it took me like 4 or 5 tries, and I'm underneath, and I'm trying to get out of this thing, but it was tight and it was narrow.
Yeah.
I can't get out of the damn kayak. I'm upside down. Eventually, I got it up just enough to get my head out of the water and went, oh, God. And I took another breath, went back under, and then tried a couple more times. Finally got back up. I thought I was going to die.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. For sure.
What happened to the instructor? Oh, he died in a kayak.
Wait, the guy teaching us how to kayak?
The guy, the teacher, yeah. That guy. Yeah. Coming up, the return of Ted versus the FCC at 4:35, and we've got your emails coming up next in the men's room at KISW.com.